Boy, some of the looks I just got were pretty priceless right there. Last one awake gets a prize. How about that? No, just kidding. We'll go rather quick here. Hey, this was great today. I love spending time with all of you and this fellowship. This is great. Great time to connect and grow together and just learn little random things about each other, you know? Amen. That's what grows a church family. So Luke chapter number 19. And verse number 17 says, "And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities." And with that, you can turn back just a few pages to Luke chapter number 16. And verse number 10, to go along with that, Luke chapter 16 and verse number 10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." It's amazing how me and Pastor didn't talk about our messages, but they line up with faith. And so we just heard a message this morning about having the faith to be able to bring people to Jesus. And so this afternoon, I want to challenge us to be faithful in the little areas of your life. And this is often overlooked. Now, salvation is a full work of Jesus Christ, and the disciples said, "What are the works of that we should work? The works of God," and Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent," and that's it. And that's all there is for salvation, to put our trust and our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you're sealed till the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord for that. And if you look through the Bible, you find the word sanctified 62 times. And that is a past tense verb, as in God looking down to us through the magnifying glass of the Holy Spirit. He sees that we are complete. We're finished. We are sanctified to Him. It's done. But then also in the Bible, you will find the word sanctification, a present tense verb, 5 times. And this is us looking up to heaven. We got a ways to go. And so there are things that have been finished for us. Our salvation is absolutely finished for us. And then there are things down here that the Lord wants us to work on. And one of these is the areas of little things. And this often gets overlooked very easily. The devil is really good about making us focus on the big things, but not focusing so much on the little things. Let me reread this verse the way that our brains see it. "He that is faithful in that which is much is faithful also in the least." It's backwards. We think that if we focus on the big things, the little things will fall into place. But God's principle here is no, work on the little things, and then the big things will fall in place. Amen? And so that's what we need to always focus on. And the devil is an expert. Honestly, he works overtime to try to get us off balance. And if he can get us off balance, he's basically got a victory. And the fact that Satan will do that to us, we have to keep on our toes. He wants us to forget about the little areas of our life that need worked on every day. And so I want to challenge you with this, to be able to take a look at it and work on the little areas of our life. It's very important. It's more important than we could imagine. And, you know, if you grew up in a Christian home and you've been taught to work on these little things, man, praise the Lord for that. That's amazing. Some of us in here did not grow up in a Christian home. We did not grow up with God in our life. And the problem with that is, with that and with the sin nature all around us, we are programmed to cut corners. We are programmed to take shortcuts. We are programmed to look for the path of least resistance and take the easy way out and get out of as much work as possible. And, you know, just to say it another way, our sin nature that's built into us, whether you were born in a Christian home or not, just looks to be lazy and get out of as much work as possible. And so that's what we're fighting against. And that's what I want to take a look at this morning, is to look at this in a different way. We got two main areas where we can work on little things. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the time that we've spent together today. And then, Lord, thank you for the truth of your word and the power that it holds to transform our lives. And Lord, I pray that we would just take a look at this afternoon, very shortly. And Lord, please speak to our hearts. Please transform our lives. Help us to be better Christians and help us to increase our character for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so since there are two areas to look at, the first area, go ahead and turn to Psalm 139 with me. Psalm chapter 139. And David said, in a different area, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. And so the first area that I'd like to challenge us to look into and work on is to be faithful in working on the little attitudes. To be faithful in working on the little attitudes. And what I mean by that is when we come to church, we're pretty good around each other. We're pretty prim, we're pretty proper, we're pretty on the ball. We act like we don't do much wrong because that's the way we're supposed to act in a church, you know? We come and we're supposed to act like we know we should act all the time. Unfortunately, we don't act that way all the time, especially when we go home. Some of those prideful attitudes pop out a little more than they would around church members. Some of those selfish attitudes, some of those envious and jealous attitudes. You see, the people that we care about should not experience those attitudes as much as people that we're not as close to. The truth of the matter is they experience those bad attitudes more because we're around those people more. And that's something we really need to work on. Satan can tear a family apart that way. Satan can tear relationships apart that way. Now, look here in verse 23 of Psalm number 139. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And as I mentioned, he said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. And so hopefully we all understand these verses, and hopefully we all have memorized these verses. I try my best to pray this every day. And what it's like here, what I liken it to is, okay, we've all had to clean our room at some point in life. And then when we get to be an adult, we all seem to have this room, and you could call it some sort of a room, like a green room. And in this green room, it could be called the black room, because it's like a black hole sort of a thing where everything you don't want anybody to see, or anything messy or anything that has too much sentimental value to let go, it's stored in this room, and that's where it lives. And there's old magazines, and there's old dressers, and there's wrapping paper that will never be used from 25 years ago, and there's jewelry that you couldn't pay a woman to wear, and there's board games, there's everything in this room, right? And we tuck it away, and we stuff it in there, and that's our room as an adult. But for the sake of this illustration, we'll just use cleaning our room as a bedroom, okay? And so we've all cleaned a bedroom. And here, David, search me, O God, and know my heart. So basically, he's cleaning out his heart, but he knows there's an inspector who's going to check it when he's done, and that inspector is God. And, you know, as you get older, you don't have an inspector that's going to check the room. But he said, humble yourselves as a little child. So we always, if we're cleaning our heart out, we have an inspector, and he's going to come and check the room. And these little attitudes, you see, they hide in the corners of the heart. And so, you know, when I would clean my room when I was younger, I don't know about anybody else, maybe it's just me, but I would actually probably spend more energy trying to find places to hide stuff than just put it where it belonged. And there's always stuff under the corner of the bed in the back, and there's always stuff in the back of the closet, and there's always dust on the top of the door frame. And my dad would come in and he would say, you didn't do a good enough job. You've hidden things in the back and in the corner and under the bed. And do we do that with our heart? I wonder. You see, we focus on the big attitudes while we're out in public and we're around people, but what about the little attitudes while we're in home, while we're in privacy? You know, Jesus was the same person at 6 a.m. when he stubbed his toe on the couch as he was in the afternoon when he was teaching in the synagogue. He never had a bad attitude. He never sinned. And he's our example, so we have to look at that. We've got these things hidden in the very corners of our heart. And so we do have to work on that. So as we look at this prayer right here, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's as we clean our bedroom, or as we clean our rooms, clean the heart out also, but look for those little hidden things under the bed. Look for the bad attitudes that we've hidden under the bed. Look for the bad attitudes that we've hidden on top of the door frame, or let stay on the top of the door frame. Amen? And let's clean the heart out. Let's do that. Let's do that for the Lord. If you're not saved, you don't really even have a desire to do that. But we who are saved, and I believe most everybody here is saved today, we have that option to do that for the Lord. And then, guess what? When the inspector comes to clean our bedroom, he'll go, wow, there's somebody who actually did what I said. That look under the bed. There's nothing there. There's no bad attitudes there. Wow, look at the dresser. Look under the dresser. Look at in the closet. There's no bad attitudes there. This is a heart that has been thoroughly cleaned out. And that can only take place when we focus on the little things. So I wanted to challenge you in that area. And then the first area is to be faithful in working on the little attitudes. The second area would be to be faithful in little actions. All right, faithful in little actions. So come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And this is Paul explaining the judgment seat of Christ and how the reward system works. And verse number 13, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what size it is. I'm sorry, I read that the wrong way. That doesn't say size at all, but our American eyes read it that way. And that's the way that we look at doing works, as far as our actions on our end is. We've always got this scale going on, and it's the size of the work that we think is going to get the reward. But God takes the size out of the equation and replaces it with sort. So if we have this truth, every man's work shall be tried of what sort it is. You see, this takes the size comparison of the actions out of place. And if we're looking at it like size, then this is where we will end up focusing on working on the big things, not only in our own life, but doing bigger things for others, for our neighbor, for the people around us and the people at church. And that gets replaced by the size comparison and by the scale. But if we can really grasp the fact that at the end, God and the judgment seat, every work will be made manifest, and there's no scale. It's based on the sort of work, not the size of the work. And so that will allow us to really pay attention to the little areas in our life and the little actions in our life. Now, come back a few pages to Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter number 16. And Romans is a powerful book, and it's got a lot of scripture in it. It's probably got the best layout for salvation. It's been called the key to scripture. And in it, Paul has 16 chapters. And this is, I think, the book written in the middle of his letter writing. It's not in the Bible chronologically. He wrote them in a different order, but they put it in the Bible for a certain reason. But this one was written in the middle of the road for Paul writing his letters. And so you've got chapter 1 through 3, and that is the sinful state of man. And then you've got 3 through 5, and chapters 3 through 5, or the back half of chapter 3 through 5 talks about how we're justified by faith completely in Jesus Christ because there was nothing we could do. And then you get to chapter 6, and it explains how now that you're saved, you got to live it. And chapter 7 says, you're not very good at it. And chapter 8 says, but here's the reason why it's worth it, because the Spirit is salvation, and you have the Spirit if you are saved. And then he goes into chapter 9 through 11, and that is all future stuff for the nation of Israel, and that helps us to decipher the fact that the church and Israel are different. They're not the same thing. And then 12 through 14 is personal growth, character, and 15, same thing, bear the infirmities of the weak or the others. And then you get to 16, and by that we're like burnt out almost, it seems like. And you know what? We overlook it too much, because all it is say hey to this person, say hello to that person. But you know what's weird is the Holy Spirit let this stuff be in the Bible, and it's there for a reason. And I don't know about you, but I would like some more verses on creation, for example. All I pretty much get is, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I wish there was more. And he's got 30,000 verses in here, but there's really no more than that. He said, that's all you get. Or like making Adam out of a ball of dirt. I wish that there was more on that. But all it says is he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life after he formed him out of dirt. That's it. We get one verse on that. More on heaven. I wish there was more on heaven, but there's not. There's no more on heaven than just a few short verses, maybe a chapter or two. But when you get to the end of Paul's letters, he's saying hello to this person, commend this person, say thank you to this person. And so as we look at it, let's see why he chose to do these things. So verse number 1 says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Sancrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. And the word succorer means to see a need and to run to the aid. Now, verse number 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers, see my helpers in Christ Jesus. And verse number 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And so the Holy Spirit saw it fit to put these people's names in just because they did little things. You see that? They didn't do the big things. They just did the little tiny things. They just helped out. They just looked for the next best thing to be done, or the next right thing to be done for the people around them and to better their own lives. Excuse me. Verse number 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Verse number 7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles. See, they're of note among the apostles. So they were noted. It doesn't even say what they did here. It just says that they were working on the little, that just shows that they were working on the little things while the apostles were taking care of the big things. And verse number 9, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. And then you go down through verse number 10, 11, 12, verse number 12 says, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. And so these are little people. People in the Bible that actually got their name in the Bible because of just little things that they did. They just chose to help out. And to build our character, we really need to get over ourselves and look to better the lives of those around us. And I think we could all work on that for sure. You see, Urbane was just a helper, but he did something to help everybody. And he looked, you know, we just had this fellowship downstairs, and I got to throw the plates away, so I get the reward for it. But no, I'm just kidding. Sorry. But see, you're always looking to see what you can do for somebody else. And it stacks up. The Lord says, I really appreciate that, because I'm going to try the work of what sort it is. Amen? And then if you turn back to verse number 2, that you receive her in the Lord, this is Phoebe, as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. So she's seen a need and ran to aid. Now, my boss likes to send people out with me training. And he says that I train him well, and that's all fine. But the real reason he likes it, he's told me this once before. He says, you come back and tell me something that nobody else tells me about the person. And what that is I tell him whether they looked to see what needed to be done next or not. It's funny because when I go out, I'll actually leave a few things undone to see if they're paying enough attention to finish them up. Like, for example, I will leave when we stop for gas. I'll leave the gas running and say, I'm running in to use the bathroom. Now, when I come out, there's two options. Either the gas pump is hung back up and finished up, or the gas pump's still in the tank and they're uploading Facebook, you know? And so this is what my boss really appreciates is I say, I don't think they'll make it. And the reason why is because they have poor character. They don't look to see what needs to be done next. They don't look to see what the little things need to be done. Or I think they'll make it. They have great character. They looked to see what needed to be done next. They asked what needed to be done next. And I'll be honest with you, very few people looked to see what needed to be done next. And very few people still drive for us today. I would vouch to you that everybody that looked to see what needed to be done next still drives for us. And the ones that did not look to see what needed to be done next, they did not make it. They did not have the character to make it because it's a self-starting job. And so how about us? Do we have the character to look for the next little thing that needs to be done, not only in our life, but in the lives of those around us? You see, it makes everybody's life easier around us when you give of yourself to see, okay, what can I do to make so-and-so's life easier? What can I do to make so-and-so's life easier? And these things add up, and they strengthen your character. God said from Luke 16:10, he said, if you're faithful in the little things, that's what's really important. That's what's really going to grow your character. Now, let's go back to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. And we read this earlier. We read the one verse. This is a parable of the 10 pounds, and this is Jesus giving 10 servants a pound each, okay? And we can see that in verse number 13. It says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, if you go down to verse number 16, it says, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds overnight. Except it doesn't say overnight. It just says thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And so another area I want to challenge us in is to be patient. You see, we think everything's supposed to happen right now. But I'll bet he didn't gain 10 pounds overnight. I'll bet you he took his pound and gained another pound. And then maybe with his 2 pounds, he gained another pound. And then with 3 pounds, maybe he gained 2 pounds. And then with 5, maybe he gained 2 to get 7. You see, it was a slow, gradual process, but he had to work on each individual action. And I challenge you all, and myself too, to work on each individual action in our Christian life. Now, the last one that I want to share with you is Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And this is the woman breaking the alabaster box of ointment over Jesus' feet for his burial. So let's start at verse number 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? And if you look a little deeper in the Gospel of John, Mark was a little more merciful than John. John pointed out who it was. He said that it was Judas. And then he wrote a verse right after that said, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and held the bag. But so then verse number 5, for it might have been sold, he says, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. And there's the last verse that I want to use for us today. She hath done what she could. And again, the devil will get us focused on everything that we should be doing, and it'll cause us to pretty much never do nothing. Because, you know, our intentions have already landed on the moon, but our actions haven't gotten a foot off the ground usually. And if we focus on all that we should be doing, it's really overwhelming. But if we could take a look at little things in our life and just do what we could, then it would be very beneficial to our church, to the people around us, and to our very own Christian life. And the little things make a huge difference. And I just want to share one story with you at the end. She's here. I don't want to embarrass her. But after I got saved and I started to change little things in my life, little areas of my character, I took my cousin to McDonald's one day, and she dropped the $20 bill. And I picked it up, and I tapped her on the shoulder, and I gave it back to her. And she said, "Wow, thanks." And later down the road, a couple years later, she said that's what really spiked her interest in God. You say, "Man, that's not a big thing." It was for old me. Old me wouldn't have done that. Old me would have pocketed it. But I decided to start working on little things. And it's great to tell people the truth of the gospel and the word of God, but we also have to show them with our life changing, showing the difference of the change in the little things. And I'm not saying she's saved today because of that instant, because of that point in my life. But I don't know if she'd be saved without it, because she herself has told me that's what spiked my interest in God. She said, "You got something different now." And it was all because I just chose one day, a few years after I had gotten saved, to begin to work on the little areas of my life. And I'm thankful that my family's saved. I think I could credit that mostly to working on little areas in my life and them seeing it. On my end, on God's end, power of salvation. Praise the Lord for that. But on our end, let's be faithful in little things. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and your power and your love to us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us this year to be focused on the little things that we need to work on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a wonderful reminder. Life is one step at a time, amen? So the Bible is line upon line, precept upon precept. I remember when I was a kid, I always wanted to learn how to play guitar.